Welcome to Axis Astrology. My name is Alison Price and I'm here with my good friend Arwen O'Neill and we're coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. This time we're going to be talking about the astrology of November 16th to the 29th, 2014. We're going to be looking at some of the planetary ingresses and the moon's placement, and our astrology 360 topic for the day will be Jupiter. And we also have a couple of book reviews as well.
Yeah.
So Arwen, what are our transits and ingresses that we've got?
Well, starting on the 16th of November, we've got Venus moving into Sagittarius.
Yeah.
So that is an adventurous placement for Venus.
Yes.
You might find yourself doing idealistic grand gestures in the name of love, or possibly overspending or oversharing even. So that's what Venus and Sagittarius might bring for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 16th. Then on the 19th, we have Venus squaring Neptune, which is a bit of a delusion, deception, potentially disillusionment sort of thing, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Potentially relationships or investments could be not what you had imagined.
Yes.
Or you might
find haven't got the full picture.
Yeah, exactly. That you've, you know, maybe even fooling yourself or something with regard to those things. Then on the 21st, we've got the sun moving into Sagittarius.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the bit of a pile up in Sagittarius, obviously, since it's November. And that is an optimistic, expansive
yes.
sign. It's faith and good fortune and faith in both senses. So good faith and also faith in religion, faith in other people, optimism and idealism, possibly overextension of that benevolent sort of spirit.
Yes, because when the sun goes into Sagittarius,
yeah.
it's in Jupiter's sign. And of course, yeah. Jupiter is in the sun sign, so they're actually going to be mutual reception
right.
for a month.
Yeah, exactly. The 27th, that's when Mercury moves into Sagittarius. So that's going to sort of
so that's the sun, Venus, and Mercury all in Sagittarius.
Correct, yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
So it's Sagittarius's time.
Yeah, yep. Good
so
time
with Mercury
for,
in Sagittarius, we think...
Oh, the law, the seeking of the truth, the philosophizing, the judging. The preaching the gospel.
The newspaper headlines.
Yeah, yeah. The big font.
The big font, you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So quite a bit of a quiet month, but all going the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's moving into Sagittarius.
Yes. Everything's moving. With an arrow pointing to the Sag.
That's right. The...
yeah. I sent my mother, the Sagittarian,
yes.
and my grandmother, the Sagittarian, both of them, same birthday. I sent them a YouTube video that I came across yesterday. It was the top 10 archers in movies and TV, which is, you know, archers. So they were disturbed that only two were women. And I agree. But we've got that.
That's all right.
And then there's the Amazons. I forgot to mention that.
Yes.
I'm going to have to PS them. Don't forget the Amazons. No one's done a movie about that, but I guess maybe maybe that will be coming.
True.
What is the moon up to?
Yes, well, as I say, every time the moon is always moving. Mm. So during this two-week period that we're discussing now, on November the 22nd, we've got a new moon mm-hmm. in Sagittarius. Ta-da! It's all in Sagittarius this
yeah.
time. Now, of course, the new moon is always where the sun is, so the sun's just gone into Sagittarius. So the new moon will be at 0 degrees Sagittarius, so it's just snuck in.
Yeah. Just snuck in.
And so being a new moon, every month we like to talk about where the new moon is going to be and which line us you got.
I'm ready. I am ready.
She's ready for the question. So, 0 Sagittarius, there will be a new moon. So which house will that be in?
First house. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes. Because I have Scorpio rising, but it is, you know, it's a big house.
Whoa.
So it's, if we were doing whole sign houses, it would be my second house, but we're not.
No, we're not.
We are not. But, yeah.
So what does that mean? That means that the new moon will occur for you in your first house.
Mm. Okay.
The house of yourself, your body,
me,
your looks.
Me.
It's me. And so you can set some affirmations for that month of the new moon
yeah.
in line with your first house, such as, what do you want
know.
To achieve this time?
Holiday dress, maybe. No, I don't know. I'm
more
joking. It's always more clothes. I make, you know, I sew and whatnot. So I've been obsessively sewing lately. I'm still on the jackets.
Oh, are you still on the boxy? Are you boxy jackets? Is it the structure? Is it the?
Oh, yeah. It's probably the structure, yeah. Because I don't like to, you know, be...
Sloppy Joe.
Yeah, ugh. Yeah.
So you're working on your personal wardrobe to give yourself a makeover to... Yeah,
for no reason, because I work from home, so...
So nobody sees you but yourself, so that's important.
It's all very narcissistic, yeah.
When the, in its first house.
Yeah, it's all self-contained. And...
So the sun's going to be going into your first house anyway.
Yeah. That's right. It's rough over here. Yeah.
So do you feel that you're going to go out and what, instead of doing someone else's pattern, you're going to start doing your own fashion design now? Is this, you're going to open a line of jackets by Arwen?
No, it's all for me. I don't have time. I would be terrified to make things for other people too. I've bad experiences.
But because it's first, actually going to make more stuff for yourself.
Oh yeah, for me, yeah. I think so. I'm predicting. I'm not saying this is what I want to do. I'm just saying this is what I'll probably
do. What
you'll
be doing.
Yeah. What about you? Where is it? Wait a minute. You don't know.
No, I do. Of course I do. It's in my fifth house.
All right. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, Sagittarius is one of my intercepted fifth house thingies, so it's fifth house.
Nice.
So... Giving birth to some new project. Have I got time? I don't know. Not unless I get rid of some of the others. But maybe that's the time to start getting rid of things that are not paying though.
There's a good Sagittarius message. Get rid of stuff so you can get more stuff.
Yes, exactly. Get rid of things that are not pulling their weight in my life. And there is a few. And we were talking about it earlier. And maybe start something new that's actually going to go on a whole new journey of creativity, expression.
Boy, is that not Scorpio to Sag, like November for you? The purge before the binge.
It really is. It really is. It's cutting out
to make room.
Stuff that is not serving me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have decided I know where the slices are going to go, and they're going to go in certain ways. I'm going to drop certain things that I've been doing for the last 3 years and just cut them out because they're not paying their way.
Yeah. Well, that's more than half the battle, is knowing which of the things.
It takes, but I've only recently come to it, like 2 days ago. I thought, that's got to go, and I'm stopping that.
Yeah.
So, and what will happen at this new moon, was that November 22, then clearly I must pay attention that day to what comes forward as a new creative project for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be more this, more that, or something totally new, but I'll let you know.
Excellent.
So that's the new moon on November the 22nd. And then on November the 29th, we've got the first quarter in Pisces. So in this period, the moon is going from the new moon, it's in the dark when we start, and it's moving towards the light. So that's always a good time to start things.
Yeah. Excellent.
And if you're like me and you, we're all starting things, aren't we?
Yes.
You're starting a new design and...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I've even feel that I've been chucking stuff out my bookcase, which I never do.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, just the old things that are just gathering dust. And I want to make room for some new things to come in, so...
That's wonderful.
So I know I've got a few more plans coming up for the new year and how I'm going to approach life then, but it's actually coming sooner than I realise now that I'm looking at this. So
yeah, really.
There we go.
It's true.
That's my take on it anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the moon.
That is the moon. And that leads us into our Astrology 360 topic, which is Jupiter.
Jupiter,
the ruler of Sagittarius.
The ruler of Sagittarius.
In case we didn't make that clear. But, you know, it's it's the biggest planet. It's actually 2.5 times that the size of all the other planets in the solar system combined, mass-wise.
Wow.
Yes. And it was once theorized by astronomers to be a failed star, in quotes, because it's so massive. But in fact, they've actually found more recently that it is not quite massive enough to be considered... It's not so much a failed star as an almost could have been I mean, it's big enough. It's a big fish in a small pond.
The little planet that would.
Oh, yeah, yeah. it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, marbled, lovely planet, gas giant. I believe it was Carl Sagan who theorized that they could be like a pure diamond core at the center of it because of the mass and the gravitational whatnot.
Romantic story that
right?
Is.
Yeah, there was something about these weird whale floating, you know, aliens too. But leave that aside for now. You know, more importantly, the planet itself would need to be apparently 75 to 85 times its current mass if it were actually to generate a thermonuclear reaction in order to become a star. So that is not likely to happen. nor likely in the past of could have, you know, sort of okay. thing. And we actually have found small, teeny little brown dwarf type of stars, which are, you know, like the smallest stars we've actually identified in the galaxy, in the universe, but they are actually about 100 times larger than Jupiter.
And
the smallest one.
Still can flick the light switch on.
Right. They're like 0.3% of the brightness of our sun. Okay. So if one of those was instead of Jupiter, where Jupiter is, if all of a sudden there was like a brown dwarf, you know, 0.3%, it would literally not light the night sky. Yeah. We would see it in daytime, apparently, you know, quite brightly, like as a thing up there, mm-hmm. but it would not be enough to really, you know,
okay.
it wouldn't be like the moon or anything like that. It would just be like, oh, there's a little light up there.
But you can see Jupiter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think I have, but I've heard that you can.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So it's easier to spot when it's light conjunct the moon, then you can see which one it is. But
yeah, I always get it mixed up with Venus. I never know which.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great. Yeah. So Jupiter rules Sagittarius.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And so that's the thing. Expansion and yes. this big personality. Yes. One of my favorite Sagittarians as an example is Winston Churchill. It's just okay. because how Sagittarian can you be? He wrote, you know, tons of books. Yes. He was this massive presence. I'm doing this thing with my hands. You yes. can't see. And of course, when I say Winston Churchill, I picture him half as him and half as Albert Finney, who played him brilliantly in this movie. It's a wonderful BBC movie.
Okay.
Where Helen Mirren was his wife, and it was great. But I do know what he looks like, and I do know, you know, he was in real life. But I have yes. to say, it is a little overlaid with the Albert Finney, which isn't a bad thing. You know,
he
should be so lucky. But, yeah, so that's a Sagittarian type of this big presence, this big sort of big intentions, big just lofty goals, lofty ideals.
Great expectations.
Yeah, there we are. Exactly. It's, you know, the two sort of gas giants, the biggest planets in our solar system, obviously Jupiter and Saturn, in the ancient days were at the very outer limits of the solar system. Yes. They were the final, you know, thing. And Saturn had all of the sort of, you know, restriction and the sort of, you know, tough on crime kind of, you know, qualities of like the, you know, the stern father planet. Yes. And Jupiter was like the, oh, you know, wanting everyone to be equal, the big tent sort of, well, I mean, in U.S. politics, we would say like the New Deal, the Great Society type of mm-hmm. these laws that were, you know, meant to bring everyone, lift all boats sort of thing. Yes. These are very yes. Jupiterian sort of laws and ideals and the legal system is said to be ruled by Jupiter. So.
Pardon?
The legal system.
Oh, yes,
the,
yes.
You know,
yes.
and higher education.
The justice system.
The justice system, exactly. Yes. Things that make, you know, that sort of legislate morality, really. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. that make people do what we should all want to do.
Yes.
voluntarily. Which is also a very Sagittarian thing, mm-hmm. I think. It's that kind of idealism.
So Jupiter takes 12 years to go around.
Yeah. So it spends about a year, a little tiny bit more than a year in each sign. Which is
it's quite good that.
Nice, yeah. It's convenient for us.
It is. So at the moment, Jupiter's in Leo.
Yeah, it moved into Leo on July 16th of 2014. Yeah. And it'll be there until August 11th, 2015, which is nice.
Perfect. Perfect for Leos. When Jupiter's in Leo, it's great.
Yeah.
Great news.
Yeah, totally.
As she lives under the conjunction of Leo yeah. to the sun. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So, let's see. Jupiter in your chart, in everyone's chart. What does it mean? How do you interpret it when you are looking at someone's chart?
It shows where you can grow, where you're expansive,
yeah,
where you're lucky, mm-hmm. and it generally is benefic. It's really not much bad news,
yeah.
And whichever house it's in, it will show where you grow in that area. So.
Do you treat it as an outer planet or an inner planet? Like, do you interpret it as its own thing, or do you, you know, weight it depending on if it is, you know, aspecting other things closely?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, more so. Yeah.
It's conditioned. You want to know which house it's in because that's where it's going to affect growth in your life.
Yeah.
So, it does depend on what house it's in.
Yeah.
Where things are going to get big and when you're going to have a lot of that kind of stuff, whatever house it's in.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, if Jupiter's in your sixth house, you will actually get growths as well. So, and we need to, you know, watch out for things like that. So I don't know where it is in your chart. No, I just said that.
Third.
There you go. So you grow through mental stimulation. You read books, don't you? For heaven's sake, how many books do you read a book? You know.
Well, I collect them at least, and then I do read them sometimes.
I mean, I turn around here and there's like 500 books against the wall.
Yeah. I used to do the same with magazines. It was a nightmare.
Yes, I can imagine. So
now it's all online.
So you grow in that area. You're lucky in that area. It's also where you're philosophical. It could also be where you find God. In books, maybe. I don't know.
It would be in books if I did, yes. If I were to do that. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, if there's any aspects, conjunctions to it, or any particular aspects triggering your Jupiter, it will show how it will respond and when things can be beneficial. On the downside, you can go over or to extremes in where Jupiter is, so you may get an excess of books.
Right, yeah. Or if it aspects another aspect that you have, like if it is sort of tagging along on a conjunction of, like, let's say Mars and Pluto, and then it trines that, you know, Jupiter is trining that conjunction, that would, just sort of add fuel to that fire. It would expand that sort of,
Yes. It's also the place where you actually raise your sights so you can broaden your horizons and have more vision and actually dream like a bigger dream or a better dream, or there's a brighter future kind of thing that can keep you motivated to move forward. Whereas often with planets, we're just bothering about what's happening in the here and now. Jupiter will make you raise your visions and say, hey, maybe we should go over that range of mountains over there.
Oh, that is interesting. Actually, I like that a lot. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Now, when Jupiter's in the third house, it often makes an armchair traveler.
Oh, yeah.
So even though it is the planet that does tend to rule long distance travel,
there it is at the very bottom of my chart going, yeah.
That's right. I can see it all from here. Armchair traveler.
Right. And with the... massive panoramic view, so it's
the panoramic, there's your vision, and I'm looking out the window and I can see mountains over in the distance, and I don't know what they're called.
I can see it all from here. I can write about it without going there.
But in the comfort from your the comfort of your own home, with all your books at your fingertips and the internet connection that, oh my goodness, third house needs.
Yeah, really.
And probably you've got high speed internet here.
You've
got this vision.
Yeah.
And you do have a horizon to stare at.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So yeah, what's like a sign? Was it in again? I can't remember.
Oh, mine's an Aquarius.
Aquarius.
Yeah.
So all the new stuff, yes?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a gadget whore, but, as some people are. But
you've got technology in
this
house?
I have a nice laptop. I like my laptop.
She's got
a
nice laptop. And what is this cover? Tell me about the cover.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. All right. Okay. I have this laptop. It's a delightful laptop. I'm not going to, shill the brand, but it's a really, really nice one. And it's thin. It's razor thin, but it's got this cover because it is so thin and it needs to be protected kind of. And it looks like a book. It looks like a big old-fashioned
tome. Like a Jupiterian.
Yes.
These books where you go... when dust comes out, that's a Jupiter.
Like on that commercial where they were like, in all these dusty law books, that's the dusty law book. That is my laptop cover. And then you open it up and there's this beautiful, shining, gleaming thing.
And it's an old book. Laptop. It looks like it's some old witch's thingy.
Yeah, like a compendium or like an arcanum or what have you.
And that is so Jupiterian that you've got this massive thing as well, right?
Yeah.
You find that when Jupiter's in the eighth house, people will actually take their books of knowledge, cut them out and hide things in the book.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Pink has Jupiter in the eighth house.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
That's funny as hell. Yeah.
So you have it that knowledge, which is very much a Jupiter thing, is expressed in that
and
way
It's a tool in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
How interesting is that?
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so you've also got some aspects coming in. You know that, don't we? We just happen to know that because we happen to have your chart in front of us.
We do. Like, finally. Yeah. We are prepared. It's funny because Mr. Pink and I are about 9 years... We keep calling him that. It's our producer. My better half. We have a lot of the same aspects for no good reason because we're 9 years apart. And so it's kind of funny that we actually have some very, very, very similar placements. We both have Mars square Jupiter, which... every time you look that up anywhere, it's like, oh, the gambling aspect. Nah, but no, neither of us are gamblers at all. We don't even like the idea of the stock market. But right? It's silly. But I do see a bit of the kind of I don't know what it is. It's like a caution to the wind, kind of, you know, if you're passionate about something and you know it's worth defending to the death. I can see that.
You're a bit anti-establishment
about your ideas and whatnot. Yeah, a little bit. You know, the bad part of the establishment.
Yes, yes, I know. Actually,
yes.
But that just comes through that your beliefs are, you actually stick to them and
And then we'll argue about them if you know.
And you sit around and talk into the night.
Probably incessantly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so the aspects to your Jupiter there.
Oh, so there's the Mars.
No, you're missing the point. I'm talking about your chart, that green lines.
The green lines. Oh, there's a yod.
Yod.
You are very fixated on this yod, and I don't even see
it. I'm not fixated on it.
I'm just kidding.
Sticking out. I'm looking at the Jupiter.
I don't see yods. They don't pop out to me. That's so cute, though. I mean, because you did say that a couple times, and I was just like, oh, yeah, whatever. But yeah, no, I mean, there is a yod. It's funny, though, because it doesn't occur to me. The finger, she says, waving her finger at me.
So Arwen's got this yard.
Tell me about the yard.
Pointing at Jupiter. Therefore, you have a Jupiter yard. I also know another woman who's got a Jupiter yard, and that's even her email address, jupiteryard.com.
Really?
Email.com. Yes.
And is she doing okay?
Of course.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because it's powerful. It points to Jupiter as... I don't want to say a solution for things, but as a way to overcome adversities at times.
Oh, yeah.
Because yod's point at planet, and that's why it's like a big arrow pointing at planet.
It's going here. This is the way.
Is the planet. You're not paying attention.
This way out.
So even though when we look at your chart in general, there are more important things sticking forward, such as the Scorpio, the Virgo, the 10th house stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pointing thing to that Jupiter.
It's going,
Do not ignore this Jupiter.
Interesting.
And you don't. You use it, right? You're into knowledge. Oh, yeah. You're into philosophy. You know about stuff.
Yeah. And if I don't, I get all freaked out and have to go learn about
global
it.
Global issues.
I will stay up late and figure it out and, you know, study it. Even if it doesn't actually benefit me supposedly right away. Yeah. I have to stop myself sometimes. I have to. This isn't important right now. Go to bed. Yes. But
But you find it interesting. And why not?
I am a glutton for knowledge. I almost said that without even thinking about what I was saying at first. And then it just occurred to me. And that's crazy. Yeah.
So that's very much how it's expressing itself, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You have a lot of books.
I do. A lot of bookmarks in my computer as well.
Not only have you got bookmarks in your computer, you created bookmarks.
Oh, I did too, yeah.
Arwen has a range.
I designed a couple of, you know, a little, 12 of them, in fact. Astrology bookmarks, yeah.
And pin-up girls. And you printed, I don't know how many, a whole gross, I suppose.
Oh, well, just, I think I printed three of each.
144.
Well.
Which is a Jupiter keyword.
Okay,
well, never mind the Virgo. Don't put Virgo in. But the Jupiter did it. It's the house, it's the books, it's the bookmarks, it's the respect. These are not all bent and curling on the corners and tossed on a chair.
No, some of them are highlighted, but they're all very...
respectfully put there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And also organized by color a little bit.
Organized by color.
Because I think that's important.
Because now we know that some of them have been hollowed out and they've got rolls of dollars in them.
Right. Well, some people ask me, like, how do you find your books? And I go, well, I remember
everything. Yes.
I remember that those ones are red or green or yellow, whichever color it is. I know what color the book is that I'm looking for.
Right.
And they look at me like I'm crazy, but it's true. Ask me what color love signs is. I know.
Do you think you're on a quest for knowledge, or do you keep rereading the books you read as a child?
Not as a child, but I do, like, reread. That's an interesting question. I reread books, not reread. I go back and I look at passages of books that I have read. You know, definitely, I go back. And half the time, they have a bookmark in them where they're, you know,
there's a
little post-it sliver in there about something important. And, so there's that.
So you're not actually, like, just devouring the newspapers every day?
No.
It's knowledge, you see.
It's not just information. I'm not a Gemini, for goodness sake. I do respect a great deal of their work. Should be so lucky as to actually be able to communicate with others as freely as Gemini does. But I just store it. I'm a hoarder of knowledge. is. There we are. That's it. There's my confessional.
There it is. So
yeah, the hoarder of knowledge.
Yeah. And you, now I really am on the spot. What about you? Tell us about your Jupiter.
Fifth house, yes. Jupiter.
And aspects and whatnot?
Pardon?
Aspects? What aspects? What is it doing?
Oh, it's in Scorpio.
In Scorpio.
So, oh, yeah, it's so quiet. Jupiter's one of my quiet Scorpio planets.
I see. The Jupiter doesn't want to talk, does it?
No, it's the fifth house. It's the kids. It's got to be the kids.
Pa.
I have four children. Which is a lot.
It is a little lot, yeah. Little. Compared to none, for example.
And I do go to casinos.
Do you?
I do.
Do you win?
I do.
Excellent.
I've never walked out of a casino with less than I walked in with.
Me either, but it's only been one time for me.
Oh, no.
One time. And I didn't actually put up the money to begin with. It's great, but go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, so you do that. That's interesting.
I do. Huh. Even down here at River Rock, been up there.
Wow.
And many years ago, probably 1990 something, we were in Mozambique.
Yeah.
There's a place.
Yeah.
We drove up and for the weekend, and you have to drive down. There's this tar road, right? And you can't go off the dirt because the landmines are still there.
Oh, my God.
Go down this dirt road, get to Maputo, into the hotel, and then the armed guards lock the door behind you. Anyway, and they had a casino.
Wow.
I know. And we were just there. It was past midnight, and the place was virtually empty. And so I was just sitting at the slot machines because that's what I play. I just play the slots because the bells ring and the lights go and that. And David doesn't gamble whatsoever. So
really?
He
was just reading a magazine or something?
No, he was just sitting there on the sort of stool next to me talking to the pit guy who was just standing there because he got nothing else to do except chat to us.
Oh,
I'm just sitting there, not even looking, putting in my pennies. And then I won on this machine.
And it just erupted and
the
coins went everywhere.
Up. The guy got off his chair as quick as a flash and I'm sitting there. And I knew that I used to work with a guy who was a professional gambler.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said to him one day, give me some tips for going
sure.
to the casino. And he said, when you win, never get off the chair, stay in your seat. And a few other tips, but anyway. And then this guy said, gee whiz, you know, and all this ching-ching, sang us to chain. And the pay is out in US dollars.
Nice.
And yeah, I don't want to say how much we won
right.
because one doesn't.
Well, yeah.
But it was like, dang.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that was it then. It's wow. we
Okay, no, I'm just bewildered now with the symbolism. This is cracking me up. Okay, so you descend into the underworld in this tar road, you said. Jupiter and Scorpio. So it's like this... This descent into the bowels of hell sort of thing with landmines to the left and to the right and you're locked behind the cliff.
You turn on the tap and black stuff comes out.
That's remarkable. And you emerge with glistening coins and wealth and...
I know the joke of it was, of course, that they paid in US dollars, which was like unheard of, right, in Africa.
What are they
going to
give you, Mozambique dollars?
Yeah.
Like,
No, that's
Jesus
not worth anything.
Want that. Yeah, that's amazing. Wow, that's beautiful.
So then after that, we went to the restaurant and we were sitting there because it's right on the coast. So the Indian Ocean's there, balmy. So it was really lovely weather. And we sat there and we had some seafood dinner. I still remember that. But
yeah. No kidding.
And that's just kind of how it is. And even today, if I go up to River Rock,
yeah,
I can go up there, say with $100 and I'll come out with 120. It's not all, I just, no matter how long I stay, I don't lose it.
Yeah. Nice.
I know. If only I could kind of like tune right in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, yeah. Now that's fifth house, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So now I get to the point where I tell you about my forays into the stock exchange.
Right, because you are not averse at all to that.
No.
No, you.
And
Bitcoin and all that.
Bitcoin. There you are. You see, that's me. I'm like, we got to get in there. And I accept Bitcoin on all my payments.
Yeah.
The cryptocurrency, blah blah blah.
Right,
but
yeah.
There was
for those of you listening years ahead,
I
were
know.
A bit of which.
And this business of when we were still living in Toronto, I was on. I used to do trading as I was an online trader as in Forex.
Wow.
Foreign exchange. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Canadian
well,
dollars
I've heard
against
of it.
The pound, yeah. Pound against the euro, and so on and so on.
Yeah.
And I only traded currencies.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
just. Kind of
wow, that's interesting.
And again, I'm not saying I made millions. I certainly didn't, but it just kept on ticking over.
You didn't lose. You were not like a compulsive. It was purely because it was
Wow. The system, because I was probably doing that for about 12 months. It was online. It was online trading. You buy online, you sell it. You're sitting there at your computer. You can't even get up to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And you're there. And I then had this astrological thing that when the ascendant in the day was a positive sign, I bought.
Yeah.
And when the ascendant for the day became a negative sign, I sold.
Huh.
I know.
No, that's so fascinating, though, because you're talking about this compulsive, I couldn't get up from my computer. And that's exactly what I was saying about when I study something that I'm fascinated with. It's
yes.
this, you know, knowledge, whatever thing.
The big obsessions.
It's right. The big obsessions, the things that just take over.
That's right. And it was like one of those things that I would like tick it over and tick it over. And I'd start off maybe with $500 on the Monday. And by the time we got to Friday, maybe I got $550. It was not huge. Don't get me wrong. It really wasn't.
But it was always profitable.
I could somehow do it.
That's really cool.
I haven't actually remembered that for quite a while now that we're bringing it up and actually discussing it, because I just stopped doing it. I don't know why. It just didn't seem to.
What was last year that you did that? I'm just looking now for the
I'm trying
tie-in.
To think it. Hmm. I can't recall.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I find the expression of Jupiter is in the fifth house, the children, the casino, and the stock exchange.
Very interesting.
And of course, creative project never ends.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And but it's in Scorpio, so I don't discuss it with people generally. Right. It's not the first thing I'll tell you.
Exactly. I do quite well in the Forex. Oh, gosh.
I've got the cards for getting all the casinos. Las Vegas, my favorite town.
What's your favorite hotel? I've only stayed in one, so two, actually.
What did you say?
Oh, I've only stayed in two hotels there. What was your favorite hotel?
We've stayed in the Luxor, and we stayed in the Flamingo or something, I can't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I've only been there one time, but Roger has been a couple times before, way more times, several before we met. But he took me there, and the Bellagio had just opened, 12th floor or something like that, and then we'd been there for maybe 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden there's this huge eruption of light and fountain, and we're like, oh my God. Yes. So that was amazing. And then we stayed at New York for one night.
Anyway, I've decided that one day when I win the lottery, which of course I buy, naturally.
And you may very well win.
When I win the lottery, we will actually move to Las Vegas and I could live there for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Yes. I like the climate. Yeah. I like the lights, the show. It's so Leo.
Yeah, it's so Leo.
It's a Leo town, right?
Yeah.
And it totally appeals to me. I mean, I could live there. We've taken the kids there. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think so, but as I say, David doesn't. He put a penny in there on the movie. He just stands behind me with the money.
Yeah,
I call my bag man. You know, put that in the bank. You know,
excellent.
Kind of thing. But it's just one of those things that maybe you don't read about so much in the cookbooks. I don't know. Maybe you do.
I don't know. My knowledge of Jupiter is definitely sort of lagging behind, like just my visceral sort of grasp of it, behind the others. I don't believe I've read that. I don't think that any of the stuff that we've...
I know, I love it. Yeah.
But that's the best, I think,
but
stuff.
Because it's in Scorpio, it's really, to be honest, I don't discuss it. Yeah. I don't mention it. We just, you know...
Just, to, you know, between us and podcast audience.
Well, yes. No. I mean, even though the one guy that lives in the building, he drove me up to River Rock.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember his name and I've already mentioned it now. But anyway, you know, it's just, I don't suppose you've been there.
No, we almost went on New Year's Eve last year to see the Go-Go's because they were playing there. But we actually didn't make it because...
Oh no, I wouldn't waste my time going to shows.
We were trying to buy tickets on Craigslist and whatnot. Yeah, things happen. But yeah.
And what machine do I play? Wheel of Fortune. It's the only one I play. And that's what it's called. And that's Wheel of Fortune. And that is the card, you know.
Then
fortune is, of course, a Jupiter thing. So I've got this other method I must tell you about, my secrets about.
Please.
I don't always take a compass with me.
Really? Like a compass?
A compass with a
north.
Yes, because I always sit in a machine facing east. So I'm facing the ascendant.
Wow. You're committed. That's awesome.
I don't think so. These are just astrological tricks and tips I've picked up along the way, and I suppose I could work them more if I put my mind to it. I don't know.
My gosh, that's
but
crazy.
It's not. It's entertainment. It's fifth house. It's entertainment. It's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
If I've got a casual Saturday and $100, I'll go down to the casino.
Yeah, that's great. And that's another interesting because obviously this is all about expansion, exuberance, and whatnot. But but it works for you because it's not a compulsive.
with some people, it might be a bad thing because they might be compelled to do it when they need money or something. Okay. But for you, it's entertainment. And that's why it is. That's why you win.
I don't take the rent money in.
Right, yeah.
No, never. Yeah, and I never take credit cards in there. I never buy credit. I have to have the cash in.
Yeah. That makes complete sense to me.
It's kind of interesting, though. But I don't know why. It just came up now when you were talking about it.
Totally. Well, that's so funny.
Who knew?
That's great. Exactly.
So I don't know if that's the same for everyone with the Jupiter in the fifth house, but certainly it can be.
Yeah. Well, email us and let us know if you have that. Access astrology@gmail.com.
When I win the lottery, I'll post the date, yes.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Are you listening, universe?
I think the universe subscribes to us on iTunes.
And it's not that I want to, win the lottery to be a
to have more money.
No. It's so that I don't have to work again. My family doesn't have to kill ourselves on the 9-to-5 grind and live in places that could, you know.
Yeah.
Give a bit more for the kids to leave them behind. It's not that I want to travel the world.
Wallow in luxury.
Yeah, no.
No.
I've really got most of the stuff I want. It's just, I just don't have to work so hard.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my story about Jupiter.
Excellent. Excellent story.
And I didn't know I was going to say all that. We were
no, you didn't. Ha ha. Got you. Well, as we were saying, so Jupiter is in Leo right now. And I did a bit of looking into the historical placements of Jupiter in Leo just to see what was to be seen. And the last time it was in Leo, it was August 2nd, 2002 to August 27th, 2003. And during that time, obviously, there was sort of a ramp up to the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. We had a lot of terrorist attacks all over the place. It was I think the Bali nightclub bombing happened. There were a ton of things happening in Russia that were, you know, unrelated to the Middle East.
Okay.
Just random, you know, terrorism. We had Miss World terrorist attack in Nigeria. We had all kinds of stuff like that happening. But millions, like 10 million people protested, you know, in February of 2003 for, you know, prior to the Iraq war, which is, you know, protesting against war. Mm. You know, that's a very, I think, Jupiterian sort of thing. The Human Genome Project was completed. And the interesting thing is that it started in the previous Jupiter in Leo.
Yeah.
That one was from August 1990 to September 12, 1991.
Okay, yes.
So we have the book ending of the beginning of the Human Genome Project and then the ending of it. And then we also have a couple of bookend things, which I found really fascinating. The first Gulf War started in the previous Jupiter in Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second Gulf War, you know, started.
It's amazing, this next one. Yes, yes.
And also the very last day of the, it was August 27th, 2003, when Mars made its very, very closest approach to the Earth.
Yes.
And that was the closest it had been in 50,000 years.
In living memory then.
Yes. So that was the very last day that Jupiter was in Leo. And we also had the Northeast blackout that left 55 million people out in the dark, which happened then. So that's another... And it was because of the overloaded power grid, you know, too much.
Overextension, over plugging in, over expectation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, zap. Yeah. So that's, yeah.
And the fact that Jupiter takes 12 years to go around also matches up with the Chinese calendar. I think I've mentioned this before, right?
Yeah, totally.
So every time Jupiter's in Leo, it's the Chinese year of the...
Whatever it is right now. Yeah, I was going to say
yeah. So that kind of it flows as well. So
I've actually... Sagittarius, yeah.
So it works together that way. And because I've got two daughters in 12 years apart and they both have Jupiter in the same sign and they're both the same Chinese. So it's kind of interesting that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Cool.
And with this Jupiter in Leo, we were talking a little bit before we started about the...
Jupiter returns,
and to my mind, actually, the first return is the most important when you're 12.
Oh, yeah,
so and I use that as one of my criteria for doing children's charts up until the age 12.
Yeah,
their parents are there, but between the when they become age 12, their parents still need to give permission. But I will take that client individually without the parent,
yeah,
because they get to choose once they get to be 12.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, they have their own, you know, opinions about what they want to know about and things.
That's right. But when you do get a Jupiter return, right, any return is the same because the planet comes to the same position. It triggers the whole, the natal aspects it has and reinforces them for you.
Right. Yeah, totally.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Usually a good thing. 12's a
big year.
So, of course, when Jupiter moves into my 5th house, of course, I'm in the casinos there. Why wouldn't you be?
Right. Well,
so when Jupiter gets to your 3rd house, which will be what, in 2 years' time, you know, you're just going to have to go and buy more books.
Oh, look at this. I was so proud of myself. I've not actually needed to buy another bookcase to, because they're basically full. And, you know,
I know,
I haven't had to buy a bookcase in a couple of years, which is great.
There's a whole wall there you could have filled with books.
True. Yeah. I was on a bit of a binge for like a while there, book wise.
Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. So, yeah, so that's kind of, Jupiter can be something that's very much in the background. So it is actually both in both of our charts, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's there and it can be tapped into as and when needed.
Yeah, definitely.
If it's not front and center and first house and all that, it really just can be very much a background planet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until you hit on that topic and then it's it just expands to fill
it's
up.
It's like you hit the right note. Hey?
Yeah, yeah.
You put it together and that's how Jupiter is expressed.
Yeah. You put one coin in and then...
Well, you buy one book and before you know it, there's 500 on the bookcase. You know, you've got more books than anybody I know.
Wow. Yeah.
Because Jupiter is where you expand.
Yeah.
So, well,
that's so interesting. So, yeah, that is Jupiter.
So,
that is Jupiter. I have one book to recommend.
Yes.
This I read actually quite a while ago, and I was just glancing through it again. I didn't reread it for this podcast, but I can wholeheartedly recommend it because, of course, it is The Jupiter Saturn Conference Lectures by Liz Green and Stephen Arroyo.
Okay.
And, you know, if you can't recommend something by Liz Green and Stephen Arroyo, what can you recommend? You know, I mean, gosh, it goes without saying almost. But yes, this is transcripts from lectures that they did in the 80s, in actually July of 1981. So quite a while ago. There is, a very, really interesting in retrospect article about current conditions sort of thing, which is fascinating to read now. You know, there are all sorts of things that you can kind of go, oh, wow, you know, or not so much, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's, to be honest, it's not all about Jupiter and Saturn, which, you know, the title would lead you to believe it was. But it's, you know, obviously it's fascinating. It's one of less than...
Is it for beginners or...?
Oh, not really. Sort of more intermediate, I guess. Yeah.
Intermediate?
Yeah. Because it's a lecture transcript and they don't go into...
Yes, it moves at a different pace.
Yeah. But in that sense, it's actually quite easy to read. So that's...
Okay.
It's more accessible than something that was written kind of out longhand with all the flowery whatnot. But, you know, I mean, obviously they're incredibly seasoned speakers. And so it's very cohesive and doesn't ramble and whatnot. But like one might do if one wasn't seasoned as a speaker. But
one of Jupiter and the
third house. Well, exactly. But it is delightfully colloquial in some ways. And it's sort of charming to hear their voices come through, I think. That's one of the things that's great about reading transcripts of lectures, especially from giants in the astrology world like Stephen Arroyo and Liz Green. So you can actually get a feel for their personality and sometimes for, you know, their annoyance with certain questions, which is really funny when you can tell that they're just like, oh, brother. And then they go on to answer. But not that that happens much. It's just great, great book. Good book.
Great book, says Jupiter in Third House. A great book.
Recommend it.
What was the name again?
The Jupiter Saturn Conference Lectures.
Oh, okay.
And I shall link to it.
Oh, that would have been at the...
7-day conference in Berkeley, California.
Ooh.
At the time of the Jupiter Saturn conjunction of July 1981.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's known as a great conjunction, hey, when Jupiter and Saturn get together.
Yeah.
A great conjunction.
Yeah. So they happen every 20 years.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a thing with the presidents. U.S. presidents. It was broken by Reagan, who survived his term in office, but for about like 80 years or something, from every president who was elected in the year that ended in zero, like so 1900, 1920, 1960, 1940, they all died in office until Reagan. And he would have, if not for the modern medical technology of the day.
And that's got something to do with...
Well, they say it might have, yeah. I mean...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's the only...
that's the corresponding aspect that occurs every 20 years. So the thing is that it was always happening in Earth signs. For all of those years, all of those presidencies. And then it changed into air signs.
Okay.
And so that's where the curse was broken or whatever, which is an interesting, gosh. I mean, you can't really argue with 80 years worth of presidents dying in office. That's crazy. And
it's amazing what people can put together, isn't it? And join dots and come up with, therefore.
Well, everyone was convinced that George Bush II was going to die in office because he was, elected in 2000. And there was a great, great conjunction that year, but no. Probably had the best security of any president until the current one.
Yes. Interesting. Good.
Yeah. So that was my book review.
So the book I brought along doesn't actually have anything to do with Jupiter, but I must tell you, it was one of the biggest ones on my book.
There we are.
So I've got the Book of World Horoscopes by Nicholas Kempion. Revised and updated edition.
Excellent.
And it's quite a hefty book. And what this is about mundane astrology, which is about political. So it's got countries charts in and presidents charts in and charters charts and charts of charters, I mean.
Like businesses?
Yeah. Federations of Iran and this and that, and when things happened, and the US chart and assorted Sibleys and what have you.
Right.
And those ones for England, which there's like a gazillion of those. Back into the dawn of time.
Really?
To have the world horoscope, the Anima Mundi or something. Inauguration horoscopes, political parties, towns and cities, economics, conflict.
Oh.
So economics is the stock exchange and charts for that. And then he's got the nuclear era, the atomic bomb, and moon landing charts.
Yeah.
Actually, quite interesting. And then world horoscopes, which I thought was quite interesting. The Hermetic Birthday of the Universe and Sepharial's World Horoscope for AD 2000. And then the biblical creation of the world, 4004 BC. So he's got charts for all of these. Jesus Christ chart, the biblical floods chart. And so that's all very interesting. Christian calendar, Muslim calendar, starting of these. And then the outer planet charts.
Oh, for the discovery.
Yes, for Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and Chiron. And then it's just incredible. Once you start, you kind of can't put it down. So a lot of the charts you're never going to read because you're not going to necessarily want to know about the Roman Empire.
Or the
second one for that matter. unless you've got
Jupiter in the third
house. Or I'm not going to be looking up Singapore's chart in the next week. But it's here when I want it.
Totally.
So that's kind of interesting. And if you're definitely going to, if you're going to be doing mundane work and political work, it's excellent.
Yeah.
So it's got tons and tons. It is a huge book and it's a great book. It's a reference book. It really is. It's not a beginner's book.
I read it from cover to cover sort of deal.
No. But if you want to go and put Canada's charts in there, as an astrologer, you come across this and that and the other, or you want to know about the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah. That has a fascinating chart.
So, So, that's the Book of World Horoscopes by Nicholas Kempion, and really beyond highly recommended.
Yeah.
I got it at Banyan. It was the only one on the bookcase. Oh, wow.
That's a great bookstore.
It is.
Far away, though. I've lived here for 15 years and I've only been out there twice.
They should be in the city that much.
They should. I know the rents are coming.
Okay.
So that's Jupiter.
It is.
Yeah. Well, next time we are going to be talking about holidays and gift guides.
Yes.
And
gifts for the signs.
Gifts for the signs. What to buy them, how to plan a party for them.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Wrapping up for the holidays.
We're wrapping up for the holidays.
Or that, yes. Totally.
Not with the title.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Access Astrology is produced and recorded by Roger Aaron Toews. I'm Arwen O'Neill.
And I'm Alison Price.
Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time.